ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ईश्वर सर्वभूतानां हृदयेषु अर्जुन तिष्ठति, ब्रह्मायां सर्वभूतानि यन्त्रावरूढानि मायया। This is a verse in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. My lecture tonight is entitled The Highway of Life, based on this verse. But before I go further, there are some verses from Srimad Bhagavatam which also help us to understand something about the Supreme Lord situated in everyone's heart. This next verse, Narada Muni is preaching to Yudhishthir. Tesheva Bhagavan Rajangs Tarak Matyena Vartate Tasmat Pratrang Hi Purusho Yavanatma Yate Yate. O King Yudhishthir, the Supersoul in everybody gives intelligence to the individual soul according to his or her capacity for understanding. Therefore, the Supersoul is the chief within the body. The Supersoul is manifested to the individual soul according to the individual's comparative development of knowledge, austerity, penance, and so on. Also in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, King Satyavrata offers prayers to Lord Matsya. Vangsarvalokasya sarit priyeshvaro yatma guru jnanamebhishita siddha tatapi loko na bhavantamandadir janati sandang ridibaddha kama. My Lord, you are the supreme well-wishing friend of everyone. You are the dearmost friend, the controller, the Supersoul. You are the supreme instructor and the giver of supreme knowledge and the fulfillment of all desires. But although you are within the heart, the foolish, because of lusty desires in the heart, cannot understand you. Then there is this verse by Maharaj Katvanga. He was fighting on behalf of the Devatas, and after he had finished fighting, the demigods wanted to give him a benediction. So he could have accepted any benediction. And so he said, "How much time do I have left to live?" The demigods told him that he had one moment more.
Please go ahead and move there.
So after the demigods told Maharaj Katbanga that he had one moment left to live, he thought this: Ye vikshiptendriya diyo devaste swa hridi stitam na vidanti priyang shasva datmanang kimuttapare. Even though the demigods have the advantages of being situated in the higher planetary system, their minds, senses, and intelligence are agitated by material conditions. Therefore, even such elevated persons fail to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally situated in the core of the heart. What then is to be said of others, such as human beings, who have fewer advantages? Then in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami is instructing the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunaka Rishi: Srinvatang Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Vidyantasto Hi Avadrani Vidhunoti Suritsatam. Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul, in everyone's heart, and who is the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Sutta Goswami also says, Yata hi avahito vanir darushveka svayonishu naneva bhati vishvatma bhuteshu cha tata puman. The Lord as Supersoul pervades all things, just as fire permeates wood. And so he appears to be of many varieties, though he is the absolute one without a second. And then also, Sutta Goswami says, Asau guna mayar bhavayar bhuta sukshmendriyatmabhi svanimiteshu nirvishtu bhunkte bhuteshu tad gunan. The Supersoul enters into the bodies of the created beings who are influenced by the modes of material nature and causes them to enjoy the effects of those modes by the subtle mind. And finally, Maharaj Parikshit also speaks, Yasmin harir bhagavan yijamana ijyatma mutirya jatang shang tanoti kamana mogan stira jangamana mantar bahir vayu vaisha atma. Maharaj Parikshit said, in all sacrificial ceremonies, although sometimes a demigod is worshipped, actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped, because He is the Supersoul of everyone and exists both inside and outside like the air. Thus, it is He only who awards all welfare to the worshipper. And now one more time, the main verse of tonight's lecture from the 18th chapter Bhagavad Gita. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hriddeshe arjuntishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantravrudhani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of material energy. Trinadapi sunichena turariva sahishnuna amanina manadena Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kevalam. Hello Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatiranyata. So we just heard that Krishna says the living entity, the soul, is seated on a machine made of material energy. And therefore, we all can very easily picture, because all of us either drive or ride in a car practically every day of the week. So you go on the highway, and there are three or four lanes. You can drive in any of those four lanes. So one lane, tamogun. Another lane, rajagun. Another lane, sattvagun. And then there is the diamond lane, the fourth. That's the lane of bhakti, devotional service. Because that lane is fast track. Now, the highway goes in two directions. Or you could say four. But north is one way. So the north direction means some people are going upwards in their life. They're advancing in consciousness. And they're elevating themselves to higher and higher regions. Perhaps after death, they will go to the heavenly planets. Some people are going south. They are not going up. They're going down. They are devolving. They are going to take lower births. Both are possible in this human form. Some people think, and they're mistaken, that once you get human birth, you cannot go back. You can digress. Just like on the freeway, you can be going one way and all of a sudden turn around, make a U-turn, go the other way. And who's to stop you? So some people are going upwards and some people are going down. Then, like I said, there's two more directions, east and west. So some people, they're not progressing up and they're not going down. They're staying as human beings. These things are explained in Bhagavad Gita. If you die in the mode of goodness, you're promoted, elevated to the planets of the devatas or even higher planets of the rishis, sages. If you are sinful, then you take a birth lower than human being. 8 million types of lower births. Lower than human. And then again, some of us will be coming back as human beings. Now, in California, there is a vehicle code. In that vehicle code, there are 42,277 codes. Do you know them? There's 18 divisions. So just as there's a vehicle code, in your life, there's a code known as the Vedas, the Puranas, the Upanishads, the Ramayana, Mahabharata, Vedanta Sutras. There is a code. Now, in driving, if you break that vehicle code, you can be punished. You may have to pay a fine, or in some cases, imprisonment. Same way, If we disobey the laws of God, we will be punished sooner or later, either in this life or for sure in the next life. Nobody escapes. How is that nobody escapes? Well, we just read so many verses. Somebody is watching everything we do, and he's right in your heart. Besides that, when there is in the Bhagavatam the narration of Ajamil, the Yamadutas point out that there are 13 witnesses to every action a person does. 13! So don't worry about this Florida case where the guy got away scot-free with murder. 13 witnesses to every action we do. Sun, moon, demigod, super soul. So many different witnesses cannot escape. Now, say you are pulled over by the police driving your car, and the policeman writes you up for a ticket. And you say to the policeman, "But I didn't know that was wrong. I didn't know that it was against the vehicle code to drive 150 miles an hour. I didn't know that." What will the policeman say? "You were supposed to know. When you get your license to drive, it is to be expected that you know that vehicle code." So the same way in life, ignorance is no excuse. We are given the Vedic scriptures. We are meant to know them so that we know what is right and wrong. Even Krishna points this out in chapter 16 of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says the demon does not know what is to be done and what is not to be done, because he disregards the codes of religion. The saintly person, the pious person, knows what is to be done. And that's why at the end of chapter 16, Krishna says, "Therefore, one should know what is to be and what is not to be done by the regulations of the scriptures." And my spiritual master Srila Prabhupada writes in the beginning, in his introduction to Bhagavad Gita, alright, like I mentioned, there are Vedas, Upanishads, Puranas, and somebody might be thinking, there's so much I can't. Therefore, Prabhupada says, okay, just read one book, Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because Bhagavad Gita is the summary of all the Vedas. So no excuse now. Everyone should know Bhagavad Gita so that one knows what is to be done and what is not to be done. Because like I said, ignorance is not an excuse. Then you get a license to drive. It's not a right, it's a privilege. Similarly, this human form of life, durlabha manava janma, it is a rare privilege to be born a human being. As I mentioned, there are 8 million non-human lower life forms. This human form of life is rarely gotten, durlabha. So it is a privilege. And with that privilege, just like in driving, you get behind that wheel heavy responsibilities. Very heavy responsibilities. So the same way, taking human birth means responsibilities. Okay? While you're driving, what's the big thing now you hear? Don't text and drive, right? Because they found out now so many accidents because why? People are inattentive. And now you see the commercials where they show the girl was, what was her last text before she got into the accident. And then they say, was it worth it? The point being, driving the car, you have to be alert, conscientious, attentive. Otherwise, accident. Same way. You're given this human form of life. We should be alert, conscientious, attentive to what we're doing. Okay. Krishna says, yantra. The body is like a machine, like a car. So, there are so many different kinds of cars, so many styles, engines, and features. Same way, there are different kinds of even human bodies. What to speak of other material, even within the human, because it is explained, there are 400,000 species of human form. Okay, so some cars, 4-cylinder, 6-cylinder, 8-cylinder. So different types of bodies are capable of doing different things. The bodies of the demigods can do things that are impossible for us because they have that kind of car. We have a human car. It can do some things, but can't compete with the demigods. Okay? Some people, especially business people, they lease the car. They don't own it. It becomes a business expense. They lease it. Actually, this body, we don't own it. We like to think we're the owner, but actually this body is leased. Who is it leased by? God and the material energy. So this body that we have is just like a lease on a car. When you lease a car, the day comes, you have to turn it back in. Same way, the day will come, this body, the one that you see in the mirror every day, you shave it, put on makeup, the day will come, the owner will say, now it's time to take it back. And just like your car, when you first get your car, shiny, new, it has that new car smell. Everything. But as time goes on, it starts to wear down. Starts to break down little by little. Actually, it's imperceivable. But it little by little, you notice so many things now. So the body that we have goes through 6 changes. Birth, existence, growth, transformation, dwindling, then death. But we learn from Bhagavad Gita, don't worry, you're going to get another car, you're going to get another body. But what will you be able to afford? That is the question. Your pious credit, your good karma will allow you to get a better high-grade body. But if I have been sinful, then I get the low grade. And nobody who drives a car wants to get a lesser. Anyone who drives a car You're always thinking, my next car will be this. When you started out, maybe you bought a Corolla or a Civic. All right, then you made some money. Now you got the Camry. All right, you progressed more, you got a raise. Lexus. But the person who has the Lexus, if they're told, now you must drive the Hyundai. Oh, he's disappointed. He's spoiled. So similarly, we have a certain kind of human body, but if we're not careful, you're going to get a lesser, you won't get upgrade. Just like in flying. If you are a frequent flyer like me, sometimes you get an automatic upgrade. They reward you. Oh, Mr. D'Angelo, you bought the economy ticket, but we see you can come up now to first. Oh, so nice. So we want to upgrade our life. Therefore, it is imperative that one leads a very pious religious life. Even in your car, there are different kinds of fuels. Petroleum, diesel, biofuels, electric, hybrid, hydrogen, methanol, ethanol, liquefied petroleum. Right? So similarly, there's different kinds of eating. Just as the car needs gasoline, the car of the body needs food, but there's different kinds of food. This is pointed out in Bhagavad Gita. There's food in the mode of ignorance. There's food in the mode of passion. There's food in the mode of goodness. And then there is prasad. Prasad is shuddha sattva, transcendental, pure, completely purified food. As we learn in Bhagavad Gita, yajna shista, the remnants of sacrifice. When you come here, after the arti, you go online and you get your plate of prasad. That is different. That has been offered. That is blessed. That is Krishna himself. When the pujaris ring the bell and offer the prayers, Krishna hears those prayers, glances at the food, and that glancing is non-different than his eating, and it becomes transcendental. You all know the story better than me. Draupadi with her plate. She had eaten, and Duryodhan sent Durvasa with his 10,000 disciples. But because she had eaten, there was no way she could feed the guests. They went off to bathe in the river. Draupadi didn't know what to do. What did she do? She prayed and remembered Krishna. Krishna came from Dwaraka, appeared, and said, is there anything left? And they found one little particle. Krishna ate, and because Krishna was satisfied, Durvasa and all his disciples were feeling, oh, we're so full, oh. They didn't come. So just a little bit of satisfying Krishna goes a long way. So when we offer food to Krishna, it becomes Krishna Fela, Krishna Prasad. It becomes mercy. And we take and we become, as you all say, Purna Santosh, right? Isn't that what you say? Fully satisfied. Okay. Now, in your cars, especially the modern day cars, they have a GPS navigation. You want to go somewhere, you put in the info, and it tells you, and the voice comes on, turn left. Now turn right. Turn left, turn right, turn right. You know that special kind of voice. So, we also have a GPS. It's called Guru. The Guru is your GPS telling you, now you should do this, and now you should do that. We see when the Pandavas were in the forest, they had Daumya as their guide and priest. So every good advanced human being has their GPS system, their guru, to guide them, to navigate them. Now, actually, you all know that Duryodhan chose Krishna's army, Arjuna chose Krishna, and it was decided Krishna would not fight on the battle of Kurukshetra, but he would drive Arjuna's chariot. Actually, Krishna is actually driving this car, this body. Actually, we're just the passenger. You all know, when you go to India, rickshaw or taxi, you're telling the go here now. You give him the address. Go here, go here, go, right? So same way, Krishna is the driver and we're indicating to Krishna, take me here, take me there. And Krishna is complying. Now another aspect. Many people think, I now have this fancy car that makes me better than everybody else. Why? Because they're identifying, I have this car, I have this expensive car, I identify with that, now that makes me superior. So some people equate their car with their social status, but what they don't realize, there are many, many criminals who also drive fancy cars. So just because you have a fancy car doesn't mean you're so great. No. So similarly, I may be very, very proud of this car, my body. But what is the first thing Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita? You're not your car. You're not your body. And okay, we get in an accident. What's the first thing we say? You hit me! Wait a second. It was the cars. But because I identify with that car, I say, you hit me. And the same way, I identify with this body, and therefore, everything that happens to this body, I take it as happening to me. When Vyasadev in the Bhagavatam, there is the episode where Vyasadev is lamenting. He wakes up and he begins his spiritual practices, sadhana, and his mind is disturbed. At that very moment, Narada, his guru, comes. And Vyasadeva says to his guru, please find out the root cause of this disturbance. And one of the first things Narada says to Vyasadeva, Vyasadeva, why are you identifying with your body and mind as objects of self-realization? He should have known better. So, again, the first thing we learn in Bhagavad Gita, not to identify with this body. We should identify ourselves, according to Bhagavad Gita, we are part and parcel of Krishna. We have all of Krishna's qualities to a minute degree. We have all the qualities, but to a minute degree. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, especially when Lord Chaitanya is observing the Rath Yatra, he's praying to Lord Jagannath, my Lord, I am not a Brahmin, I am not a sannyasi, I am not anything of this Varnashram. I am simply the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. That is called true ego. I am the servant of God. That is my identity. In one of the verses that I quoted earlier in the first portion, Narada is preaching to Yudhishthira. This is sometime after or during the Rajasuya sacrifice when Shishupal is decapitated by Krishna's Sudarshan Chakra. So at that time, Yudhishthira questions Narada. And the whole seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is their discussion. So, Narada is answering questions of Yudhishthira. And it was mentioned, the super soul gives intelligence. We learned that from Bhagavad Gita. Sarvasya chaham hridishani vishta mata smritir jnanam apavanam cha. Very clear. Krishna says, I give you knowledge. I give you remembrance. I give you forgetfulness. It all comes from me. But he says here, Narada, the super soul gives intelligence or understanding according to the individual's capacity for understanding. So, on one level, yes, the demigods, because of their exalted position, super soul is giving them much more than we are getting as human beings. Just as compared to the animal, super soul is also in the heart of the animal. But the animal's capacity no way competes with a human being. It's just not possible because of that body. But still, as a human being, they're sufficient to perfect one's life. That's the beauty of a human form of life. You have everything necessary. You have enough tools to perfect your life. So, amongst human beings, the super soul will give you intelligence according to your capacity. So the question then becomes, how can I increase my capacity? Well, for one thing, super soul is already guiding you through Bhagavad Gita. If you read Bhagavad Gita and take advantage, that is indicating to Supersoul, oh, you would like to increase your capacity. Very good. The more we execute the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, the more Super Soul will be able to help you. There's that famous verse in the 10th chapter. Tesham satata yuktanam pachatam priti purvakam. The key word, dadami, buddhi yogam. Krishna says, I give the knowledge by which how they can come to me. So if you would like Krishna to give you that knowledge by which you can come to him, then one has to become a pure devotee. And to become a pure devotee, it's all there in Bhagavad Gita. And it's all centered around simply the sincere chanting of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So simple. But who does it? That is the question. Who does it? Sumedasa. Somebody who is intelligent. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Look what Narada says. The super soul is manifested to the individual soul according to one's development of knowledge. So I already told you, study Bhagavad Gita, get real knowledge. Austerity. Austerity. What's austerity? Follow Ekadashi. Follow the four regulative principles. No illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling. That will give you some austerity. And penance. This is how the super soul will cooperate with you better. We should understand what Satyavrata was saying to Lord Matsya. Krishna in the heart is your well-wishing friend. In the Bhagavad Gita, Suhrit. Well-wishing friend means somebody only cares about your benefit. That's a well-wishing friend. Generally, it is the parents. I always tell the children who are my students, I always tell those children, please obey your parents. Because they are your best well-wishing friend. According to Krishna, he says, I am your best well-wishing friend. Draupadi knew that. Draupadi was tested so many times, but when all else failed, she just took shelter of Krishna. Especially in that Asat Sabha. When Dushasan was trying to disrobe her, she simply cried out to Krishna. The story was that when Krishna had visited the Pandavas prior, Krishna was cutting something, some food, and Krishna nicked his finger. Draupadi immediately tore off some of her cloth, and Krishna used that to stop the so-called bleeding. So-called. And then Krishna said, I will repay you. And sure enough, when Dushasan is pulling He pulls and pulls and pulls and gets tired in heaps of cloth. She was saved by Krishna. So, Krishna in the heart is the dearmost friend. What Katvanga Maharaj said in his prayer, he said the demigods, they have so many advantages because they have that kind of body they're living. I'm reading in the Mahabharata when Arjuna went to heaven, and there's so much description of what it's like to go to heaven. You think, oh my God, I want to go. It seems so nice. Oh, but look at what Katvanga is saying. Even though the demigods have the advantages of sitting in the higher planetary systems, what? Their mind, senses, and intelligence are agitated. They're not peaceful. Not peaceful. Yes, Indra is worried. Demons may come and attack. Or there is some person performing austerities, maybe he will take my position. No, there's no peace. Krishna tells us in the Bhagavad Gita how to achieve peace. Give up material desires. Once you do that, peace. But as long as I'm still maintaining any material desire, no peace. So peace is in within my hand. I can have peace right now. Just have to give up material desires and fully surrender to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. I thank you very much for listening. May Krishna bless you, protect you, maintain you. Hare Krishna. Of course I don't mind. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam. Our problem is we are so tiny. And we're so forgetful. And we're so enamored and overwhelmed by the material energy. So yes, what happens is in the temple while the lecture is going on, oh, that's good, I like that. But then after the lecture, after the arti, after prasad, I get in my car, I forget. So, the question becomes, how not to forget? How not to forget? I give the example of a person who is going to start a regimen of, let's say, walking. The doctor may tell you, Mr. Such and Such, your blood pressure and this, I recommend that you do several days a week, 20 minutes of walking. All right, because you're not accustomed to it, the first time you do it, it's uncomfortable because you're out of habit. But by force, because the doctor told me, no, I must do it, even though it's uncomfortable, even though it's not enjoyable, I know it's good for me, let me do it. So, I mentioned many things. Reading Bhagavad Gita, doing japa. If one increases hearing and chanting, because these are the two most important functions of spiritual life, hearing and chanting about Krishna. If one does this on a regulated basis every day, then you will not have this phenomenon of it going in one ear and out the other. So it's a question of becoming serious, determined, and regulated. Just become, do it every day. And gradually, your spiritual immune system will develop. Hare Krishna.